So, Wiley and Keith sold out to Smoke Jensen, did they? Interesting. Thank you for that news.
Richards waved the cowhand away and concentrated on his breakfast, conscious of the eyes on him as he ate. Marshall and Lansing and Brown sat at the long table in the dining room with him.
They got us outnumbered just a tad.
Not enough to cause us any concern, Marshall. As soon as they start pulling out, my riders will come fogging with the news and we'll have time to get ready. Besides, they're shopkeepers and store owners, not gunfighters.
Josh, there ain't a man among them ain't a veteran of either the Civil War or a dozen engine fights. They may be scoundrels and the like, but they ain't pilgrims.
Yes, you're right. They aren't going to just roll over and give up.
Richards was thoughtful for a moment. He picked up a tiny silver bell.
Yes, sir.
Thomas, tell Wilson and McNeil I wish to see them. Now.
The butler quickly left the room, soon to be replaced by two grim-faced gun hands.
Yeah, boss?
Pick a half dozen boys from each ranch and take a dozen of our men. Ambush the men from town. To get to here, they've got to come through Levi Pass. Hit them there. Draw enough ammo and food for several days in the field. And Wilson, if you fail, don't bother coming back.
Yes, sir.
Smoke stood on the ridge overlooking the now deserted town of Barry. His eyes were bleak, savage-looking. Sally stood by his side, gazing up at him.
What are you thinking, Smoke?
Take a good look at Barry, Sally.
I see it. What about it?
This is the last time you'll be able to see it.
Are we pulling out?
No, not yet.
Then
I'm going to burn it to the ground.
Matt, Preacher, Tennessee, and Graybull followed Smoke down the hill. Sally stood on the crest of the ridge. Audie was by her side, standing on a large rock. Little Ben joined him, rubbing sleep from his eyes.
What are your feelings toward and for that young man?
I love him.
It bloomed very quickly between you two. Are you certain of your feelings?
Yes.
When this is over, I believe the burning hate within him will vanish. It's been an all-consuming thing with him for a long time. But hear me out, young woman. No matter where you two go...
Three.
Sally put her arm around Ben's shoulders.
No matter where the three of you go, Smoke's reputation will follow. No matter how hard he tries, he will never be able to completely shake it. This is wild and savage country, and it will be so for many years to come. If you settle somewhere to ranch, there will be outlaws who will try to take what is yours, and Smoke will stand up to them. Word will get around, and tin horns and would-be gun hands will follow, the only thing in their minds being the desire to be the man who killed the fastest gun in the West. Then you will have to leave and settle elsewhere, for Smoke is not the type of man to back down. He desperately wants to settle down, live a so-called normal life. But it is going to be extremely difficult. You're going to have to be very strong.
Yes, I am aware of that. Mr. Audie?
Just Audie.
Audie, I am a woman of some means. I recently came into quite a large sum of money. Perhaps Smoke will consent to go back east and live.
What would he do, Sally? Can you imagine him in some office with a tie and starched collar?
Oh dear.
He is a man of the West, of the frontier. This is his land. He would not be happy anywhere else.
And I would not be happy anywhere without him. Odd that I have known him for so brief a time, and yet am so certain of my feelings. But I am certain.
Only a few people remained in town, and those looked very suspiciously at Smoke and the mountain men as they entered. Their suspicion soon turned to hard reality.
Pack up and clear out. Get your gear together and move out.
You can't just come in here and force us
you
out.
You all knew you were working for crud and crap. You didn't care. All you cared about was money. And it didn't make a damn bit of difference to any of you where that money came from and how you earned it. I have no sympathy for any of you. Get your gear together and get out of here.
They got... Smoke looked at the other mountain men.
Round up all the pack animals you can find.
He waved all but four of the men down from the ridge, leaving those as guards.
We're going to give some of these homesteaders in this area a second chance. Food, clothes, boots, guns, equipment. We'll pass it out later. Let's get to work.
What couldn't be packed out on horses and mules was passed up the hill like a bucket brigade. Soon, the stores were emptied. The town was strangely silent and ghost-like.
This town had no heart. One cannot feel sorry for destroying something that never lived.
That says it.
Smoke tossed the first torch into a building. More followed.
Soon as them people see this smoke, they'll get the message.
Those that are left alive.
Levi Pass lay sullen under the bloated heat of the sun. Bodies littered the pass. Men and animals sprawled in a soon-to-be bloated death. The first contingent of men, led by Deputy Peyton, had been knocked from their saddles in a hard burst of rifle fire from the rocks above the pass. Among the first to die were Roston, the stable manager, Simmons, who ran the general store, and Deputy Peyton himself. Among the gun hands in the rocks, McNeil and a rider from the Crooked Snake and Triangle lay dead. Then, the men saw the smoke belching into the sky. Wilson pointed to the black cloud.
What the hell's that?
That bastard Jensen has torched the town!
Oh my God, all our records!
Looks like your boy done turned on you.
Oh boy, he started out working for you!
You lie. You brung him in.
What the hell are you talking about?
Now wait just a minute. You trying to claim you didn't hire Jensen?
Sure we did, but we hired him away from Richards. Last night, Richards brought him in to kill us.
You're crazy. Just hold on a second. Everybody stop shooting. We gotta talk about this.
I don't trust you, you son of a bitch. You're up to something.
I ain't up to nothing, you fat hog. You and Stratton was the ones who wanted it all. You caused all the trouble.
Wilson stood up from behind the boulder. Sheriff Reese lifted his rifle.
Ah!
Oh. A Crooked Snake rider shot Cannon, the newspaper editor, in the center of his forehead. Britt, another rider for the Crooked Snake, crouched behind his cover and mulled matters over in his mind. He was getting the feeling that that damn Smoke Jensen had set them all up, made fools out of everybody, sitting back and laughing while they were shooting at each other. He slipped away from his cover and inched his way toward the timber where the horses were tied. Britt spurred his mount, heading for the PSR spread. He wanted to tell his boss what he'd just heard.
Now wait a minute. Tell me again what you heard back at the pass.
Britt repeated what he'd heard between Wilson, Stratton, and Potter. Lansing went to a window of the mansion and looked out toward the town. Though miles away, he could clearly see the black smoke pouring into the sky.
Sure enough, on fire.
He played us against each other, and I played right into his hands. He set me up like a kid with a string toy. That damn gunhawk knew what I'd do. I don't like being made a fool of. I don't like it one goddamn bit.
He sure done her, though.
Marshall and the other ranchers were every bit as tough as Richards, with no backup in them. They were all thieves and murderers, their pasts as black as midnight.
Gather up the men. We're riding.
Richards is anything but a fool, Smoke.
Sally's right. If he puts all this together, then you've lost your element of surprise.
Yeah, I don't think either side wiped the other one out at that pass, and we ain't heard no gunfire in more than an hour. I think they got to talking and figured things out.
The supplies hid in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah. Bear couldn't find them.
We'll get the women out to Becky's place and leave them there. Then we'll head for the timber and make them come after us.
The ranches lay in a half circle around Barry. Marshall, Lansing, and Brown will have most of their men out looking for you. Only a handful will be at the ranches. The real cowhands and punchers will be with the herds. They're cowboys, not gunslicks.
Then we'll leave them be. When we get ready to scatter the herds, we'll tell the punchers to take off for new ground.
They'll go. Let's ride.
Leaving what was once the Idaho Territory town of Barry still smoking and burning behind them, the outnumbered band of ancient mountain men, gun hands, and ladies saddled up and drifted into the deep timber, with Sam leading the way. At Becky's small farm, Sam explained the situation to Becky, and she agreed to help any way she could. Little Dan introduced the kids to the mountain men. Becky's kids had seen a lot during their time in the West, but absolutely nothing compared with the sight of the old mountain men, all dressed in buckskins and colorful sashes and armed to the teeth. And they certainly had never seen anything to match Audie. No taller than the children, the tiny mountain man captivated the kids. When he jumped up on a stump and began telling fairy tales, the kids sat around him listening, spellbound. Sally and Smoke walked a short distance from the cabin.
Do we talk now, Smoke?
I reckon so.
Very well. I want to see the West, Smoke, and I want you to show it to me.
It's dangerous, Sally, and not very ladylike. You'd have to ride astride.
I'm sure I could cope.
What is it you want to see?
The High Lonesome.
It's all around you here.
You know what I mean, Smoke. The real High Lonesome. The one you and the other mountain men talk about. When you speak of that, your voice becomes soft and your eyes hold a certain light. That's the High Lonesome I would like to see.
You'll have to learn to shoot.
Then I shall.
Camp and live out in the wilderness.
All right.
It won't be easy. Your skin will be tanned and your hands will become hard with calluses.
I expect that.
Smoke had hoped Sally would want to see his world, the world that he knew was slowly vanishing. He hoped that there would be time.
All right.
Sally rose up on her tiptoes and kissed him on the cheek.
You come back to me.
Smoke didn't reply. That was one thing he couldn't guarantee.
Nothing left, boss. Jensen burned the whole place to the ground.
Potter and Stratton were now once more joined with Richards. The opposing sides had ceased fighting in Levi Pass and begun talking. The men were chatting amicably when Richards, Marshall, Lansing, and Brown rode up with their men.
Nothing? My apothecary shop is gone?
There ain't nothing left, Burton. And Jensen and them old bastards is gone. Took the women and left. I cut their sign but lost it in the rocks.
Sam?
No sign of him.
That was a beautiful church. Takes a heathen to destroy a house of God.
You damn fake. You ain't no more preacher than I is. I knowed all along I seen you for. Now I remember. I knowed you up in Montana territory. Elkhorn. You was dealing stud and pimping. You killed Jack Harris when he caught you cold decking it.
Oh, you must be mistaken, my good man. I came from...
Shut up, Nicker. Or whatever your name is. Now I'm gonna tell y'all something. Or remind you of it. Remind you all of a lot of things. They ain't none of us clean. We all of us got Dodgers out on us. Now we can't none of us afford to lose this fight, cause y'all know damn well, when that stage reports the town is burnt, the army's gonna come in here and start asking a bucket full of questions. That means all them pig farmers and nesters in this area's gotta go in the ground. Can't none of them be allowed to live and flap their gums.
Lansing glared at Richards.
I told you time after time that I didn't trust that there Scotsman. He ain't what he appears to be. Bet on it. When the trouble started, he sure wanted to leave in a hurry, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And it appeared that he and Smoke Jensen were friends.
They gotta die. All of them.
What about the farmer's kids?
Them too. Can nobody be left alive to point no finger at us?
I want Smoke Jensen!
Dickerson was wrapped in blankets on the ground. Still gravely wounded, the outlaw had insisted upon coming to the pass, rather than leaving with the men Smoke had ordered out before burning the town. The men ignored him now. Dickerson's wounds had reopened, and all those present knew the outlaw and murderer was not long for this world.
Y'all hear me?
Oh, shut up and die. We're busy.
I said I... Oh.
As if to oblige, Dickerson fell back on his dirty blankets and died. Smoke, Sam, and the mountain men rode west toward Marshall's Crooked Snake spread. The Frenchman, Dupree, was ranging ahead of the main body of men. About 2 miles from the ranch, Smoke pulled up, waiting for Dupree to return with the scouting report. During this quiet, which all knew would soon become very rare, Preacher talked with Smoke.
You beginning to feel all the hate leave your crawl, boy?
Yeah.
That's good. It's a mighty fine little gal back yonder at that nester place.
She wants to see the High Lonesome.
Well, be tough on a woman. You gonna show her?
Yeah.
As soon as this here affair is done, you two best get going. High Lonesome soon will be gone, Smoke. Civilization done be taken over. Pilgrims ruining every goddamn thing. Be a fine thing to show that woman, though. She's tough. She's got lots of spunk. I'm thinking she'll stand by you.
Us, you mean, don't you?
You mean the boy?
No, I mean Sally. Little Ben, me and you.
No, Smoke. I'll be leaving with my pards. They steal some corners of this land that's high and lonesome. No nesters with a goddamn barbed wire around with their pigs and plows. Yeah, me and Tennessee and Audie and Nighthawk and all the rest of us, well, our time's done past us, boy. Now, mayhap you'll see me again, but mayhap not. When my time's nigh, I'll be heading back to that little valley where you hammered my name in that stone. There I'll just lay me down and look at the elephant. I'll warn you now about this too, son. This is going to be the last ride for Deadlead and Matt. They already done told me that. They real sick. Got that disease that eats them from the inside out.
Cancer?
Yeah, that'd be it, I reckon. He's gonna go out with the reins in the teeth and their fist full of smoke and iron. They'll know when it's time. You a gun hand, boy. You understand why they want it that way, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. It's all said then. When it's time for me and the boys to leave, I don't want no blubbering, you understand?
Have you ever seen me blubber?
Damn close to it!
You tell lies, old man.
Oh yeah, maybe one or two from time to time.
Here comes Dupree.
We're gonna be running and riding hard for the next 2-3 days, son. We'll speak no more of this. When this is over, me and the boys are, well, we're just gonna fade out. Now, you remember all I taught you, and you treat that woman there right. You hear?
I hear.
Let's go bring this to an end, boy.
The three riders on the Crooked Snake Range slowly turned their horses, being very careful to keep their hands away from six guns. They sat and stared at the mountain men and at Smoke.
If you're cowboys, turn those ponies' noses west and ride out. If you're gun hands, make your play.
Their decision was quickly made.
Five, maybe six gunnies at the ranch.
Got some dynamite with you, Pete?
Oh, yeah. You don't have to say no more.
Powder Pete wheeled his Mustang and took off for the ranch, Smoke and Sam and the mountain men hard after him. They rode up and stopped just in front of the deserted Crooked Snake Ranch house.
How do you boys want it? Damn them! Pete, blow them out!
Hey, Crooked Snake! Get a load of this!
Yeah!
Check the house for wounded, then burn it all!
You got a mean streak in you, and you sure didn't get it from me. I allow as to how we ain't gonna bury them gun hawks in the house, now are we?
Somewhere, sometime, they had a ma. She'd want to know her boys was buried proper.
Oh, shit! I was afraid you'd say that.
God damn! There goes my ranch.
The 100-odd men sat their saddles and stared at the black smoke pluming into the sky.
I'm heading out.
Where the hell you think you're going, Marshal?
I'm pulling out. You boys got any smarts, you'll do the same. I just realized that we ain't gonna stop this Jensen. If in a man's right and he just keeps on coming, ain't nothing or nobody gonna stop him. You know what, boys? Jensen's right.
Right? He comes in here and ruins everything we worked to build, and you sit there and say the man's right?
That's it, boys. Everything we got, we built on stole money and blood of others. Hell with it, I'm pulling out.
Josh Richards jerked up his rifle. Potter looked at what remained of Marshall's men.
Stay with us. All his cattle, his mine holdings, everything is yours if we win this fight. Let's ride!
What do we do with the cattle?
Leave them for those cowboys. They seem like pretty decent boys to me.
The cattle on Richard's place, too?
That's another story. We'll give them to the nesters and the miners.
Seems fair enough. I damn sure don't want them.
Someone has to meet the stage and turn it around. Any volunteers?
McGregor said he'd do it, but I don't like the idea of one man waiting out there all alone with 100 or so gun hands on the prowl.
You go back and meet the stage with him, Sam. I should imagine you and your lady friend will be settling in this area. So the less you have to do with this matter, the better. Agreed, Smoke?
Good idea. Take off, Sam. I'll see you when this is over.
Reluctantly, Sam agreed, and he rode out back to Becky's cabin.
Lansing's Triangle's almost due north from here.
we hit there next?
That's what they would expect us to do, isn't it?
Ho, 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 ho. You is sneaky, boy. You sneaky as a rattler.
What you two jawing about?
We head straight east for Brown's Double Bar B. I'm betting Richards and all the rest are hightailing right now to set up an ambush around Lansing's spread.
That's right, good thinking, boy. I can tell Preacher helped raise you.
Done a damn good job over, too.
Don't start bragging. I've been listening to you bump them gums of yourn for 50 years. Sickening.
Oh, shut the hell up, you mule-riding giant.
Dawn broke hot and red over the valley that Brown called his Double Barbie Spread. During the night, Dupree and Dedaled had slipped into the ranch area and found it deserted, except for the cook. They had put him on the road after he told them all the men drawing fighting pay were out with the boss. Just punchers riding herd on the cattle left. Give them a chance, and they'd haul their ashes quick. That was what Smoke was now doing, alone. The punchers looked up at the midnight black stallion with the tall rider approaching their meager camp. They all knew, without being told, who they was facing.
Get your gear, pack it up, and ride out!
Smoke made them the same offer he had made the Crooked Snake Cowboys. He watched them ride out, leaving the herd without a backward glance. Then he waved the mountain men in. Lobo inspected the main house and reported his findings.
Place is a damn pigsty.
Well, boys, let's roast us some pigs.
Brown saw the ominous black cloud to the east.
That son of a bitch! He's fired my damn ranch!
Richards looked at the smoke pouring into the sky. There was a look of grudging admiration on the man's cruel face. Morgan turned his horse's noses away from the cloud in the east.
I've had it. Me and Burton and Hallen and some of the others been talking. We're pulling out, heading west.
The others looked at the rifles in the men's hands. Potter stepped in before gunfire could start.
All right. How many of you are leaving?
Nearly all the men from the town were leaving, with the exception of Sheriff Reese and his so-called deputies.
I gather you're going to join your families?
What the hell, you say? I don't care if I ever see that old bat again.
Don't any of you ever set a boot in this part of the country again.
Don't worry.
The townspeople rode out without looking back. Looking around them, the ranchers and gun hands could see where others had deserted them during the night. Quietly slipped away into the darkness. What remained there were now the hard cases.
Mr. Richards, the miners quit, all of them. Said they ain't working for none of you no more. Oh, hell. That smoke back yonder ways. Let the Double Bar be.
Yeah.
Richards looked at the men gathered around him.
Any of the rest of you boys want to turn tail and run?
No one replied.
All right. We're going to make them mountain men and Mr. Jensen come to us. Where's the nearest nest to spread from here?
About 10 miles. Next one's about 4 miles from that one.
All right. Dent, here's what I want you to do. Take a couple of boys and go burn them out. Black, you take a couple men and burn out the next pig farmer's family. That ought to bring Mr. High and Mighty Jensen on the run. And while you're doing that, the rest of us will be setting up an ambush.
What about the women and kids?
What about them? I thought we all agreed on that. They have to die. All of them.
The homesteader's cabin appeared deserted when Dent and the others galloped into the front yard. The horse's hooves trampled over a flower bed in a newly planted garden. Normally, that action alone would bring the wife on a run, squalling and flapping her apron. It was a game the punchers liked to play with nesters, for few cowboys like nesters with their gardens and fences. But this time, their destructive actions were met with silence. Inside the cabin, the man lifted a finger to his lips, telling his wife and kids to be still. The wife nodded and moved to a gun slit in the logs, a .30-30 in her hands. Her husband held a double-barreled shotgun, the express gun loaded with buckshot. That painted lady from town had ridden by the day before, warning him to be on guard. All them ladies from the pink house was riding around, warning the other homesteaders what was happening. This was the first time he'd ever met a painted lady of the night. She's a nice-looking woman. He smiled as he eased the hammers back on the shotgun.
Set the damn place on fire! Burn them out!
Those were the last words Dent spoke in this life. The homesteader's wife shot the second rider in the chest. Outside, the oldest boy fired from the hog pen. Now three riderless horses stood in the front yard. The homesteader and his family moved cautiously out of hiding.
What the hell? No smoke.
Thought I heard gunfire, though.
Yes, but who was shooting who?
Richard's stomach felt sour, like he drank a glass of clabbered milk. Yeah, that was a word for it, all right. Sour. Whole damn business was going sour. And all because of one man. Richards looked around him. Something was out of whack. And then it came to him. About 10 or so men were gone. Had slipped quietly away. Well, the hell with them. They still had 50, 60 hard cases. More than enough to do the job.
Or is it?
As Janie stood on the porch of Richard's ranch house, she reflected that she had never seen a more disreputable-looking bunch of men in all her life. They looked older than death to her, except for her brother. Janie took in the dead gun hands lying in the front yard, the gun hands Josh had left behind to protect her.
Hello, brother.
Sis?
Well, now what?
How much money you have in the house, sis?
You gonna rob me?
No.
Quite a bit, I guess, Kirby. Yep. Lots of money in the house.
Can you ride astride?
Kid, I've ridden more things astride than I care to think about.
Change your clothes. Get what money you can carry and clear out. I don't care where you go, just go. I don't ever want to see you again.
You always could screw up every plan I ever made.
Don't you care what Richards did to your pa and brother?
Hell no!
I guess pa was right, Janie. He said you were trash.
Rich trash, baby brother. Doesn't that bother you?
Money rich, Janie. That's all.
And you don't think that's sufficient?
No. And if you do, I feel sorry for you.
Then that makes you a fool, Kirby.
1 hour, Janie. That's all the time I'm giving you. Pack up and clear out.
Janie nodded and walked back into the house.
God damn. You right sure there wasn't some mix-up in babies when she were birthed? I mean, you sure she's your sister?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Janie left, riding like a man and holding the rope of a pack animal.
Ah, what a delightful young woman.
Smoke watched his only living relative that he knew of ride away. He felt relief in the fact that he had found her alive and had offered her a chance to live, and that she had taken it. He shook his head. He still felt something for her. But truth be told, damn little.
Burn the house to the ground.
Smoke looked around him. Deadlead and Matt were gone. Smoke's eyes met Preacher's gaze.
They're going to buy some time, Smoke. They ain't going to be back.
Smoke nodded his head.
I told him not to kill Stratton, Potter, or Richards, but you wanted them yourself.
Thank you.
I'll think nothing of it. I'll give them to you for your birthday. Now, the rest of us is going to be taking off shortly. And you know what I mean.
Smoke knew.
What the hell?
Ambush!
Rogers pointed at a ridge.
There they are. Come on, let's get them.
A dozen riders looked at Rogers, then at each other. They wheeled their horses and promptly rode in the opposite direction.
Come back here, you cowards!
Let them go. Nobody fire at them.
Richard's partners looked at him strangely.
It's over. We're dead men walking. Don't even know it.
What do you mean?
Look.
Richards pointed toward his ranch house. A huge cloud of black smoke was filling the air.
The PSR house!
Yeah. And you can bet my darling Janie has taken all the cash in the house, which was considerable, and is gone. Her brother wouldn't kill her.
Well, you're taking it damn calm.
What's done is done.
Shit! Here they come!
Deadlead and Matt were in the middle of the riders before the gun hands could really believe it was all taking place. Richards trotted his horse off a few hundred yards and sat quietly, watching it all, Potter and Stratton with him. Stratton's face was ashen and his hands trembled. took 8 more riders joining the 4 on the ground before Dead Lead and Matt were blasted from their saddles. Matt rose to his boots as blood poured from his wounds, gun still blazing. Deadlead shot up and jerked Gunhawk off his horse. He snapped his neck as easily as wringing the neck of a chicken. By then, however, the remaining men had a bead on their ground positions. Both mountain men were dead before they hit the ground.
Jesus Christ, those boys were crazy!
Don't be too sure of that. Look.
The ever-shrinking band of outlaws and gun hands looked toward the west as another cloud of black smoke filled the air.
How in the hell are them geezers doing it? We're fighting a damn bunch of ghosts!
Are you staying or leaving, Lansing?
Might as well see it through to the end.
For Lansing, it was the end, and a dozen more of the gun hands rode away.
Good God, look around us.
The men looked. In a distant semicircle, 10 mountain men sat their ponies.
That's Preacher. I went over there as the Frenchman Dupree. I wouldn't ride a mule as Grable. That little bitty shithead is the midget, Audie.
As if on signal, the old mountain men lifted their rifles high above their heads, then began to wave them toward their right.
What are they trying to tell us?
That smoke is waiting in the direction they're pointing. They're telling us to tangle with them, if we've got the sand in us to do so.
Potter did some fast counting. Out of what was once 150 men, only 19 remained, including himself.
Hell, boys, he's only one man. There's 19 of us.
Well, it doesn't look like we're going to have any choice in the matter.
The mountain men began moving, closing the circle. The gun hands turned their horses and moved out, allowing themselves to be pushed toward the west.
They're pushing us toward Slate.
The old ghost town, Slate, appeared on the horizon, located on the flats between the Lemhi River and the Beaverhead Range.
Check your weapons. Stuff your pockets full of extra shells. I'm going back to talk with Preacher. I want to see how this deal is going down.
Richards rode back to the mountain men, riding with one hand in the air.
That there's far enough. Speak your piece from right there.
If we win this fight, do we have to fight you men afterwards?
No. My boy Smoke done laid down the rule.
We win? Do we get to stay in this part of the country?
If you win, you leave with what you got on your backs. If you win, we pass the word and here it is. If you or any of your people ever come west of Kansas, you dead meat. Is that clear?
You're a hard old man, Preacher.
Yeah? You want to see how hard?
No. We'll take our chances with Smoke.
You would be better off taking your chances with us.
Richards looked at Nighthawk.
He said, haul your ass back to your friends.
Richards trotted his horse back to what was left of his band. He told them the rules. Stratton looked up the hill toward an old falling down store.
There he is.
Smoke stood alone on the old curled up and rotted boardwalk. The men could see his twin 44s belted around his waist. He held a Henry repeating rifle in his right hand, a double-barreled express gun in his left hand. Smoke ducked into the building then, leaving only a slight bit of dust to signal where he once stood.
Two groups of 6. One group of 3, one group of 4. Britt, take your group in from the rear. Turkle, take your boys in from the east. Reese, take your people in from the west. I'll take my people in from this direction. Move out!
Smoke removed his spurs and hung them on the saddle horn of Drifter. As soon as he ducked out of sight, he had run from the store down the hill, staying in the alley. He had stashed the express gun on one side of the street in an old store, his rifle across the street. Smoke met Skinny Davis first, in the gloom of what had once been a saloon.
Impact saloon!
Williams jumped through an open window of the saloon. Smoke's bullet knocked the gun slick back out the window to the boardwalk. Williams was hurt, but not out of it yet. Bullet dug a trench along the wood, sending splinters flying, a few of them striking Smoke's face, stinging and bringing a few drops of blood. Smoke ran out the back of the saloon and came face to face with Simpson. The gunhawk had both hands filled with 44s. Quickly reloading, Smoke grabbed up Simpson's guns and tucked them behind his gun belt. He ran down the alley. The last of Richard's gun slicks stepped out of a gaping doorway just as Smoke cut to his right and dove to the ground. A bullet burned Smoke's shoulder. He brought his guns to bear. Smoke caught a glimpse of someone running. He rose to one knee. Smoke's slug shattered Roger's hip. Smoke quickly dove for cover through an open window of one of the buildings. Outside, Reese spurred his horse and charged the building where Smoke was crouched. He smashed his horse's shoulder against the old door and thundered in. The horse, wild-eyed and scared witless, lost its footing and fell, pinning Reese to the floor, crushing the man's stomach and chest. Smoke left the dying man and ran out the side door.
Get him, Turkle!
Smoke glanced up. Turkle was on the roof of an old building, a rifle in his hand. Smoke dove to the ground. Rolling, Smoke leveled his pistol.
Damn!
A bullet removed a part of Smoke's right upper ear, blood pouring down the side of his face. He ran to where he had hidden the shotgun and grabbed it up. He leveled it just as the doorway filled with men. Smoke cleared the doorway of all living things, including Britt, Harris, and Smith. The buckshot knocked the men clear off the rotten boardwalk and left them dead and dying in the street.
God damn you, Jensen!
Outside, Brown stepped out into the street. Smoke dropped the shotgun and picked up a bloody rifle from the doorway. Brown dropped to the street, both hands holding his stomach. Rogers leveled a pistol. The bullet ricocheted off a support post, part of the lead striking Smoke's left leg, dropping him to the boardwalk. Smoke leveled his pistol at Rogers' face. As Smoke tried to rise, William shot him from behind. Smoke fell off the boardwalk, spinning toward Williams as he fell. Smoke crawled back inside, grabbing up a fallen shotgun with blood on the barrel. He checked the shotgun, then checked his wounds. Bleeding, but not serious. William's slug had gone through the fleshy part of his side. Using the point of his knife, Smoke picked out the tiny piece of lead from Roger's gun and tied a bandana around the slight wound. He slipped further into the darkness of the building. The sound came from the alley to the rear of the old store. Smoke waited. Smoke followed the sound with the twin barrels of the express gun. Carefully, silently, he slipped across the rat droppings littered floor to the wall that fronted the alley. Smoke blew a hole through the wall and down the man. He reloaded the shotgun, then reloaded his own .44s and the ones taken from the dead gunny. Then he saw movement just across the street in a fallen down old building. Laying aside the shotgun, he picked up a rifle and leveled it out the window. Fennerty came staggering out, shot in the chest and belly. He died face down in the littered street. Smoke walked out of the building.
All right, you bastards. Holster your guns and step out into the street. Face me if you've got the nerve.
The sharp odor of sweat mingled with gun smoke filled the summer air as three men stepped out into the bloody, dusty street. Richards, Potter, and Stratton stood at one end of the block. Smoke stood at the other. All their guns were in leather.
You son of a bitch! You ruined it all!
Potter grabbed for his pistol. Richards had not moved. He stood with a faint smile on his lips, staring at Smoke.
You ready to die?
As ready as I'll ever be, I suppose. Janie gone?
Took your money and pulled out.
Been a long run, hasn't it, Jensen?
It's just about over.
What happens to all our holdings?
I don't care what happens to the mines. The miners can have them. I'm giving all your stock to decent, honest punchers and homesteaders.
I don't understand. You did all this for nothing?
I did it for Pa, my brother, my wife, and my baby son.
But it won't bring them back.
I know.
I wish I'd never heard the name, Jensen.
You'll never hear it again after today, Richards.
Is that right? Well, only one way to find out.
Richards was snake quick, but he hurried his shot, and the lead dug up dirt at Smoke's feet. Smoke shot Richards in the right shoulder, spinning the man around. Richards grabbed for his left-hand gun. Smoke's next slug struck the man in the left side of his chest. He struggled to bring up his Colt. He managed to cock it. Richards sat down hard in the bloody, dusty street.
You'll meet.
Smoke never found out who he was supposed to meet. After McGregor filed his report with the commanding officer at the fort, the Army made only a cursory inspection of what was left of Barry, Idaho Territory, and the burned ranches around it. Wanted posters were put out for the outlaw and murderer Buck West. McGregor himself wrote the description of the man, thus ensuring that he would never be found. A lot of small ranches eventually sprang up around the area. Very prosperous little farms and ranches. The ladies from the Pink House stayed, and they all got married. And Sam married Becky. And the last anyone ever saw of Smoke Jensen and Sally Reynolds, the two of them were riding toward the mountains, toward the High Lonesome, leading two pack horses. Smoke Jensen, the Mountain Man 2, Return of the Mountain Man, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1986, William W. Johnstone. Production copyright 2009, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Mort Shelby, James Lewis, Elizabeth Jernigan, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, Tim Getman, Stephen Carpenter, David Coyne, Tim Carlin, Thomas Penny, Lily Beacon, Peter Stray, Christopher Graybill, James Konachek, Eric Messner, Dylan Lynch, Nanette Savard, Michael John Casey, Ken Jackson, Scott McCormick, and M.B. Van Dorn. Additional Boot Hill Boys by the Dead Giveaways. Directed by Bob Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers, James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton. The Smoke Jensen theme was composed by Johann Detweiler. Original music by Brian Patton and Johann Detweiler. Book adapted for graphic audio by Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed Smoke Jensen, the Mountain Man, read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com and be sure to look for William W. Johnstone's The First Mountain Man, Blood Bond, The Last Gunfighter, and Eagle series, all available from Graphic Audio at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all of our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloads and podcasts. Now, keep listening for exciting previews of other Graphic Audio titles. We appreciate it.
The demon dactyl came awake. It didn't seem such a momentous thing, just a gradual stirring in a deep cave in a far, empty mountain. An unnoticed event, seen by none save the caveworms and those few insomniacs among the bevy of weary bats hanging from the high ceiling. But the demon spirit had awakened, had come back from its long dormancy into the statue-like form it had left behind after its last visit to the world called Corona. The tangible, corporeal body felt good to the wandering spirit. The dactyl could feel its blood, hot blood, coursing through its wings and mighty legs, could feel the twitching of its mighty muscles. Its eyes flickered open, but saw only blackness, for the form, left standing in magical stasis in the deep cave, head bowed and wings wrapped tightly about its torso, had been covered by magma. Most of the fiery stuff of that time long past had bubbled and flowed away from the cavern, but enough had remained to harden about the dactyl's corporeal form. The spirit had come back to Corona, encased in obsidian. The demon's spirit felt deep within itself, summoned its powers, both physical and magical. By sheer will and brute strength, the dactyl flexed its wings. A thin crack ran down the center of the obsidian sarcophagus. The dactyl flexed again. It stretched its great wings out to the side, clawed tips grasping and rending the air. The dactyl threw back its head and opened wide its mouth. It voiced the sheer joy of its return, the anticipation of the chaos it would bring again to the quiet human kingdoms of Corona. Its torso resembled that of a tall, slender man, shaped and lined by corded strands of taut muscle and sporting a pair of tremendous bat-like wings, 20 feet across when fully extended, and with strength enough to lift a full-grown bull in swift flight. Its head, too, was somewhat human, except more angular, with a narrow jaw and pointed chin. The dactyl's ears were pointed as well, poking up about the demon creature's thin tuft of black hair. Neither did that hair hide the creature's horns, thumb-sized and curling in toward each other at the top of the demon's brow. The texture of its skin was rough and thick, an armored hide, reddish in hue and shiny, as if lit by its own inner glow. Shining, too, were the demon's eyes, pools of liquid black at most times, but shifting to fiery red orbs, living flames when the demon was agitated. A glow of absolute hatred. The creature flexed and stretched, extended its wings to their full glory, reached and clawed at the air with its human-like arms. The demon extended its fingernails, transformed them into hooked claws, and grew its teeth, two pointed canines extending down over its bottom lip. Every part of the demon was a weapon, devastating and deadly. And yet, this demon's real strength lay in its mind and its purpose. The tempter of souls, the twister of hearts, the maker of lies.
How long has it been? How many decades, centuries have passed since my last visit to Corona?
The creature remembered that long ago time now, savored the thoughts of the streaming blood as army after army had joined in delicious, desperate battle.
Selden and Actinomium.
He saw again the elf who had rallied the humans and the other elves, Terran and Denonial, who chased the Dactyl's armies back to the base of the mountain, Ada. Denonial himself had come into this cave after the beast, had skewered the Dactyl. Yet even in its death throes, the Dactyl had won the day, using its willpower to bring up the magma from the bowels of Ada. Denonial and much of his army had been consumed and destroyed.
I am eternal. I have returned. My physical wounds healed. What man, what elf will take Denonial's place?
Its thoughts turned from its enemies to those it would summon as minions. What creatures could the Dactyl gather this time to wage its war?
The goblins, certainly, full of anger and greed, delighting in murder and war. The Formorian giants of the mountains, few in number, but each with the strength of a dozen men, and a hide too thick and tough for a dagger to puncture. And the power is, yes, the power is, the cunning, warlike dwarves of the Julianthes, the Weathered Isles, who hate the humans above all others.
A line of drool hung low from the Dactyl's mouth, as it considered its former and future allies, its army of woe.
I will bring them into my fold, tribe by tribe, race by race, growing as the night grows when the sun touches the western horizon. Hear me, Corona. Your twilight is at hand. I am awake!
Graphic Audio proudly presents R.A. Salvatore's epic saga, The Demon Wars. Coming soon.
If you can't find that hot Graphic Audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.